Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. Okay, exciting stuff. We are doing the Nerdist Podcast live on the road. We have a bunch of dates. You can go to nerdist.com/calendar, but I wanted to announce specifically that on March 2nd, we're coming to Boulder. And we have a guest for that show. It's Phil Plate, you may know as at Bad Astronomer on Twitter. Phil's a great guy, super funny. He's done Wootstocks, and we've been pals for a couple years now. And he lives in that region, so he's going to come be a guest on our show. So grab those tickets because it's a smallish venue, and there are not a lot left. Very similar to San Francisco Nerdist Podcast at SF Sketchfest on January 28th. We only have a handful of tickets left for that. So thanks to everyone who bought tickets to those. And then the other shows are also filling up. But go to nerdist.com/calendar. You can get info and ticket links and all that business. And come see us on the road. It's like you own us temporarily in your town. And then afterwards, we'll hug you and kiss your face. Well, maybe not. Unless you want us to. It's going to be a big post-show makeout session. Mwah, mwah. Pass that over here, Matt and Jonah. Mwah. Thanks for coming to the show. Mwah. All right. I didn't want to scare anyone away with that. We will not put our mouths on you. I would like to thank our returning sponsor to the Nerdist Podcast, Carbonite. Your computer is going to die at some point because they're like people, and that's what happens. Sorry to bum you out, but you don't have to be bummed out about it because Carbonite will back up all your files wherever you are, and then when disaster strikes, you have access to them. All you need is an internet connection, so they're automatically backed up. You get anytime, anywhere access. There's a free smartphone or iPad app that comes along with it, so you can get access to them that way as well. Unlimited backup is $59 a year. That is less than $5 a month. So start your free 15-day trial today at carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist, and you'll get 2 free months if you decide to buy it. That's carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist. Thank you to Carbonite for their support. And now, this episode of the Nerdist Podcast is a friend of mine named Connie Britton, who was in Friday Night Lights and now American Horror Story. When we had Connie on in December, I had not yet seen American Horror Story, and then I watched it over the Christmas and New Year's break, and it's fucking awesome. So if you get a chance and you haven't watched American Horror Story, just download it. I think there's like 12 episodes. It's really fun, and she's great on it. And so that's it. That's my recommendation. Watch American Horror Story. And now here's the Nerdist Podcast with episode number 157 with the awesome and funny and beautiful and cool and talented Connie Britton.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello.
Oh, it's perfect, really.
I can't hear anything.
Oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah.
Connie, are you all right? We have to get you to the hospital. You're supposed to be able to hear. Oh, you meant...
There are no other headphones.
See what I did?
I see. So you only have one pair of set of headphones and everybody else just has to not hear?
Yeah, you actually, and you're going to have to get closer to that microphone.
God, can I lift it up a little higher?
Yeah.
Can you lift me high?
I didn't know that there was also a concert element.
Yep, that's right. Can you fly me over? yesterday.
But that's not going to be too much of it. But
can you take me? Yeah.
It's still going. Still going. He's still doing that.
Yesterday is just a memory.
Really, he hit his head yesterday.
Yesterday is just a memory.
Yeah, you know why he's doing that? Because he's got the headphones on, and he sounds he awesome. Himself.
And I have to cup the one headphone, and then like.
But you sound so good in those headphones.
Like do they know it's Christmas Band-Aid style?
Oh, yes, gotta do that. Totally.
I never got the point of that. They know it's Christmas, right?
Yes, they know it's Christmas.
Well, and you know what? If they don't know, they don't care.
Right?
That really always confused me. Seriously, it confused me so much. And it confuses me more now as an adult.
So are you saying in Africa they may not know if it's a Christian/Druid holiday?
So we should send them calendars. That's what I've got from them.
Right.
We need to send them calendars.
Wait a minute, guys.
Or we're calling them dumb.
Wait a minute. If they don't know it's Christmas, they might also not know it's Arbor Day. We have to let them know.
Or Boxing Day.
We have to let them know about Boxing Day.
They're huge fans of Boxing
Fucking hell! We're going to tell them about Christmas, but not Boxing Day? This is a catastrophe!
Well, can you explain Boxing Day to me? Because I don't know what it is.
What is Boxing Day? You know what I imagine? Kangaroos.
Yep.
Well, no. It's England.
I do. I know, but still, when you think...
I think of the movie Boxing Helena, so I think it's when you cut up a person and keep them in a box because you're obsessed with them.
Boxing Day is a huge deal, and neither of us know what that is, and we're big fans of
England. All three of us.
To the internet! Matt, look up Boxing Day.
All right.
See what you can find. Connie Britton.
Are we recording right now?
Oh, yeah. We started 3 minutes
ago. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast.
Shit.
That's almost every intro on the podcast.
Yes,
fuck, sweet, fuck, pit, tits, boobs.
Sweet watch your mouth.
I'm sorry.
Fucker.
I was talking out of my...
Did you just say sweet, fuck, tits, boobs?
Sweet, fuck, tits, boobs.
Okay.
Yep.
I can get on board with most of that.
No, that was my 70s arena band name. Sweet fuck tits boobs.
Fog hat that one
time. Yep, one time.
And that was it.
Yeah, and then we blew it.
That would be amazing if you really had opened for Fog Hat.
that would be.
I would hold you in a whole sort of different esteem.
I would have been about five.
Wait a minute. You don't try to say that Fog Hat isn't still performing.
Connie.
That's true. Fog Hat is.
By the way,
correct.
You are so wrong because
I've really
Foghat,
hit a button here
Foghat,
with you.
Yeah. I'm really taking a lot of pride in my knowledge.
You're
going to
leave and
Foghat.
Call your agent and be like, I had the goddamn Fog Hat conversation again. When is this going to end? When is this going to end?
Does everybody know that I love Fog Hat?
They do now.
That out.
Connie, first of all, congratulations on all of your hit shows, for shit's sake.
Thanks.
It's exciting to me because you're someone although I have not really hung out with you in the last few years, maybe.
Right.
There was a period of time many years ago.
Where we hung out a lot.
There was a core group.
And it was so fun.
Of funny actor types. It was like you.
And you.
And me and Jonathan Silverman and Lorne Graham and our friend Pete Goldfinger. Who ended up co-writing the Jaws 3D movie. I mean, Jaws 3D.
No, the
the Piranha 3D
Piranha,
movie, which was great.
With Josh Stolberg.
Yes.
So you hung out with everyone.
Rob Zombie.
That made late 90s sitcoms possible for me to enjoy.
Yes.
We did. Really, really did. It was such a fun... That was a fresh to LA period.
That was one of those, where are we going tonight kind of things.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is going back to... 2000, 2001.
Was it even? It could have been even pre 2000. No, it was probably. You're right. I think it was 2000.
I was in the height of my my blimpy drinking days.
Yes, I remember that well. We used to have conversations behind your back, like slightly slurred, drunken, concerned conversations about you.
Really? Was it after I would get drunk at parties and then hit on Lauren Graham?
Exactly.
Listen, I think we should just go out one time. She's like, get fucking.
That's valid.
And then we would put you in a cab. Everybody would be talking about, should we call him a cab?
But Lauren's so funny about it. She was just like, no. She's like, what, are you kidding? Those were fun times, though.
I know. Those were so fun. I think of those
Except
times.
Except for the sadness that I was trying to mask. But other than that, it was a fucking great
Except for your
day.
Intense internal suffering.
It was fun. Boxing Day. You ready?
Yep. Yeah.
It's really nothing. It's a bank holiday.
Oh, it's a bank holiday?
It's a bank or public holiday. Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the UK, and Commonwealth nations. In Ireland, it's St. Stephen's Day. Essentially, it's just the day after Christmas.
Oh, the day after Christmas.
The day after Christmas is Boxing Day. Everyone gets it off. And the tradition is that you, from wealthy landowners, giving Christmas boxes to the less fortunate, meaning just giving.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it was Boxing Day, like Mary's box had to heal after giving birth to Jesus, so she needed a day to kind of sit in the
that
hay.
Makes
and
a lot more sense. Really? Lot more
just
sense.
Chat with
she
the wise men.
To sit in the hay.
What am I gonna do with all this myrrh? What am I gonna do with all this frankincense? It smells like new baby in here. We gotta fucking spruce this place up.
God,
what does
yeah.
it smell like? A barn?
New baby and hay, not a good smell.
You put the two of them together.
No.
Well, I mean, like afterbirth would be worse.
Yeah.
New but baby. Babies smell good.
Yeah. Well, no, I know, but the point, I think that was, I was.
Hay's great,
I
too.
Was inferring new baby was an afterbirth kind of a smell.
Oh,
because
okay.
I don't think that they had a lot of cleaning stuff, right?
No.
In the manger? Johnson's been around for a while, you guys.
Maybe that's why they had all that stuff from the wise men.
By the
that
way.
That stuff is good for cleaning up afterbirth.
It is. That's what that was.
Frankincense
that
was. Is excellent.
They brought cleaning
afterbirth.
Supplies. That's what the wise, because they were wise.
Guess what? Problem
they were
solved.
Wise. Yeah, they
problem
were wise.
Solved. Next.
They knew. What is that? It's new baby smell.
Yeah.
It's just, you can get, you have new baby smell.
I do. But, I have new baby smell.
You adopted a baby.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Like talking about our old times together and now it's like, whoa, I have a car seat in my car now.
You're responsible for a human being.
It's crazy.
Normally
talk.
This would sound weird, but based on the conversation, I think I can ask, how's your baby smell?
My baby smells delicious.
Well done.
Do you are you one of those new
that
moms?
Didn't feel weird at all to me. Not at all. If I had a nickel, please.
If one of those are you one of those moms who just like you just kind of like gnaw on your baby's ear and like,
yes.
Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah. In fact, okay, because here's the thing. I adopted my baby from Ethiopia, mm-hmm. which involved me going flying to Ethiopia 2 times in 1 month.
Did they know it was Christmas?
Nobody had a clue it was Christmas.
Okay.
Or Boxing Day.
Okay.
But we were shooting. I was doing all that while I was shooting American Horror Story.
Oh, my God.
Right. Anybody who's familiar with TV schedules knows that that's a 14-plus hour day. And now I'm just like, and by the way, I've got to go to Ethiopia. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you had to go to Ethiopia.
Oh,
just
Ethiopia.
Now.
Right. Yeah,
Fairfax.
Yeah.
Little Ethiopia. Oh, they have the markets there right on Fairfax. Yeah. Traffic is a nightmare,
though.
Yeah,
you know what? You're going to have to smear your blood all over somebody else. That's what I said to them at American Horror Story. Because that is basically the conversation more often than not. So, but I went, so because I adopted my baby while I was shooting this thing, I hired a baby nurse, mm-hmm. which is somebody who came in. It basically has come in and is staying with me so that she can take care of the baby while I'm working.
Oh, so it's not actually a nurse who's a baby.
No, although that would be so
because that's how babies
awesome.
Relate to each other.
They're I know.
Tiny baby scrubs.
Yep.
I like it.
Oh my gosh, I wish that my baby nurse was just a tiny, tiny, tiny baby. Because she, you know what she does? This is the thing. It's torture. She yells at me for picking up my baby too much. She yells at me for biting on my baby's ear or any number of those things. I'm literally being, my self-confidence is being destroyed by my baby nurse.
And has any part of you been like, I feel like I'm paying you.
Exactly.
I thought that was the dynamic.
Believe me, at 4:30 in the morning when my baby is screaming bloody murder and my baby nurse is telling me it's because I've just paid him too much attention, I've almost socked her in the nose.
Did she live with you now for a while?
Oh, not for very much longer because we just finished shooting American Horror Story.
Oh, okay.
But she has been, yes, living in my house.
She's going to get those walking papers.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some serious ear chewing going on.
Yeah.
You can pull the ejector
seat. I'm going to pick up my baby and I'm going to just fuck him up.
I'm going to fuck that baby
I'm
up with hugs.
Destroy him for the rest of his life with all my hugs. And my baby nurse is not going to be able to do one thing about
She's
it.
She's just going to be standing outside in the rain, staring through the window.
In her little baby scrubs.
God damn it. See, this is what I always, you know, I mean, it's amazing that it's great that you've done so much phenomenal dramatic work. But you're so goddamn funny, and I hope that you know that people get to see that about you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Connie went to high school with a guy named Steve Hardwick, and
Steve Hardwick, are you out there?
And to this day, still has a compulsion. She'll go, Chris. So
really, I mean, but on those drunken nights, I would actually, it was kind of not intentional that I called you Steve. Like, I called you Steve by accident.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
Like, a lot.
No, it's fine.
Because I was so used to saying Steve Hardwick.
From high school.
Did you say Steve Hardwick, the whole name? Like, it was one of those names? You say
Steve
Hardwick.
Yeah, it was like that, Steve Hardwick.
Yeah.
So it really is, it's been a big adjustment.
Where did you grow up?
Virginia.
Okay.
Do you think anybody in Virginia listens to your podcast?
Four people, maybe.
I wonder if one of them is Steve Hardwick.
Wait a minute.
I bet we're getting a lot of Virginia people coming to our DC show.
We probably will, actually.
When are you guys going to be in DC?
January 6th.
Oh, that's delightful.
At the 9:30 Club. Yeah. Maybe Steve Hardwick. Chris, it's me, Steve Hardwick.
Oh, my God.
I should have my sister lives in D.C. I should have her.
You have a twinsy.
I have a twinsy. Mm-hmm. My twinsy could come to your show.
Sure.
She would love that.
She's more than welcome to.
Are you communicating with her right now? That's what twins do, right?
What exactly? Yeah, but not so much.
Okay.
What exactly do you do in your show, guys? Because what do you do in your show?
Well,
there's stand up, and then we do a version of the podcast, and it's fun. It's fun. It's just a big kind of
okay.
It's a live comedy show.
I want my sister to go because she'll love it.
It's a live comedy show. It's a good time. Are you? How is it? What's with the twin? Is it? I mean, do you guys have a weird bond that no one else can understand?
We do. I mean, yes and no, because I don't have any other siblings, so I don't know how it would be different with another sibling.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely are not reading each other's minds, and,
okay.
You know, it's sort of sad because I keep trying. I really do. I try so hard. Nothing. It's nothing. It's crickets, for sure. But we're actually incredibly different, like night and day different. And so...
Like on the show Double Trouble? One studies and the other one's room is messy.
Yeah, just like that. No. Well, if she comes to your show, maybe you'll meet her. But
I'd love to meet her.
We're very, very different, and so we still love each other and care about each other, and you know, we're twins. We're twins who have no psychic powers.
Well, you're the worst twins.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Okay, you know what? You go ahead and you continue to feed your understanding that all twins have psychic powers, despite the fact that I just dispelled that.
Well, whatever. That's fine.
If Russian websites are to be believed, they make out with each other, too.
Okay.
That's always the weirdest thing, that, like, that's a weird fetish for, like, twins.
Oh, like, it's so
they're directly related.
That's disgusting.
I'm telling you.
As a twin... No.
Yeah.
No.
I am way on your side.
Okay, good. I'm so glad.
I am
to hear
mostly
that.
On your side. No, I'm way on your side.
I'm mostly on
your sister. But your sister has kids, right?
Three kids.
Yeah, she has three kids. That's right. Because I remember, you know, I remember when you first said, I have a twin sister, but she has dark hair and she has kids.
Yeah.
And she.
Yeah, different. Very different.
Yeah.
Very.
Did you ever think you wanted kids, or was this something that you
just. Always. I always thought I wanted kids, and then it was like taking me forever to get around to it, and I always knew I wanted to adopt too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I've been doing, this is a part that, you know, we didn't share in those evenings, but I was working on a documentary about Ethiopian orphans, which is another part of my comedy tome, is, you know, the Ethiopian orphans.
You got to close with that.
Sure, exactly. I mean, literally, that's that thing that kills when I talk about my Ethiopian documentary.
Once again with adopting...
these orphans today.
Orphans today, I would watch that program every morning.
I know. Really?
Orphans
you,
today.
Wouldn't you?
Orphans
I have been
today.
Trying to sell that for years.
Well, if you made me have psychic powers, you could have sold it.
Wow, you're just making me feel so bad about my lacking twinship. I tried. I really, really tried.
Do you really try to sit and think and then say, hey, are you hearing this?
No.
Okay, I would. I would. That's what makes us different.
No, you wouldn't.
I think I would.
No, you wouldn't, because you grew up with it and you just know that you don't have psychic powers.
When you were kids, did you at least try to have psychic powers?
No, we were too busy hating each other.
All right.
We were too busy hating.
You created the block. You need to unblock the hate.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, I hit her over the head with a ukulele once. Maybe that's what did it. Maybe it was the ukulele bashing that destroyed any possibility of psychicness.
And that wasn't hilarious?
Oh, it was. I thought it was hilarious. I broke the ukulele. I mean, it fully broke. Like, I thought it was so funny. And she didn't. To this day, like, honestly, if she listens to this, she would not think That was hilarious. Cindy, come on. That was hilarious.
Come on. You're just not seeing it the right way.
See, this is why we don't have psychic powers. Where's her sense of humor?
I think you struck it away with a ukulele.
Also some math.
A little bit. So I want to hear about your documentary.
Oh, well, so my documentary, I went to Ethiopia. It's all complicated. And now it's even more complicated because it's been sitting for years and nothing's happened with it. But I do hope to get back to it at one of these. It's really sort of trying to shed light on what it is to be an orphan in that kind of environment and why orphans are, that why there's so many orphans in Africa, mm-hmm. and just to give them, you know, humanity as opposed to just this number and, you know, the concepts that we have about or don't have about African orphans. But right now it's just a big jumbled mess.
You need a studio to come by and adopt your orphan documentary.
I know, I do. Yeah. You know what? Now that I've adopted a little boy from Ethiopia, I need somebody to adopt my documentary.
Please, please give.
Please give. Do you know it's Boxing Day? Please give.
Oh, it is? Oh, what does that mean? I don't know, but
I think Boxing Day would be an appropriate thing for people to know about because if it's about
giving
boxes to the less fortunate,
should we start doing Boxing Day here?
Should we do a song?
We should do a boxing day. It's Boxing Day at all.
Here's to them.
Raise a glass box for everyone. Here's to them. Underneath that burning box.
Boxing.
That didn't work.
I think the burning box was that twin porn I saw from Russia. Christmas time.
You sure it was Russia and not the Ukraine? I feel like the Ukraine's a little weirder.
All right, fine.
Oh,
Ukraine.
The Ukraine for sure. Ukraine is just weird. Come on.
I mean,
there's no.
What are we talking about here, guys?
That's not even a debate.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So when did you first go to Ethiopia?
I first went to Ethiopia in, it was like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I first went there and shot all this footage and then came back and tried to put it together. But then I came back and basically I was despondent with depression after I got back, which again, just part of the comedy, that whole aspect of my life. So funny. And so I didn't really do anything with it for a while. And then I started trying to cut it together. And then I went to work on various things that culminated in Friday Night Lights, and now it's just been sitting. But I think that having just made these other trips to Ethiopia and several other trips to Africa in the last few years, I will now be able to finish it with all this other footage that I have gathered.
That's really amazing. What was the adoption process?
It's a great ending, by the way. You ending up adopting one of them.
I was so kind of resistant to being a part of the thing. Yeah. But everyone that I worked with on it was like, you are going to ultimately have to do that. So if I can figure out a way to do it where it's not cheese ball.
Oh, right. Because you don't want to feel like you're exploiting.
I don't want to. First of all, I don't want to exploit my life. I certainly don't want to exploit my kid's life, whatever. So
all right,
that's
Connie,
a great
I have
challenge.
An ending for you. Your sister comes out and you hit her with a ukulele.
Exactly.
And then Ethiopia.
She explodes and turns into a baby that you adopt.
My sister went with me to Ethiopia to get my baby.
Really?
Yeah. And even there, we weren't having any sort of psychic nothing. Even in Ethiopia.
Oh, if anywhere, I think that would be there because there's no Wi-Fi signals to block it.
You would think it. You would think it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's really amazing. What is your child's name?
Yobi.
Yobi. Yobi Britton?
Yobi. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I think it's like you guys just settled on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Just Yobi. Yeah.
One name
like
is all
Moby,
you need.
But Yobi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just Yobi.
I love it.
Yeah.
How old is he?
10 months.
Aww.
He's super, super great, dude. He's awesome. He laughs and smiles all the time. He has got a great sense of humor.
Because he saw you hit your sister over the head with a ukulele. And that's the kind of humor babies love.
He loves that.
They love base humors. Babies love physical comedy and dick jokes. Those are the two things.
And farts.
Farts are hilarious.
Farts are
funny.
A dream.
They are funny.
Yep. Wait, who was the guy who was just sitting here who just left?
Nick.
That's Nick.
Nick hasn't said one word.
He doesn't.
He hasn't made any eye contact with anybody, and now he just left.
He's twin phobic.
This wall you're watching, Nick actually works for the Seacrest radio program.
Oh.
So he's pulling clips from all of these monitors for Ryan. And occasionally he'll pop on. He's a great guy, but we're essentially in his turf. Yeah.
So we're in his space. So he has to basically listen to us gab.
Yeah. He loves it though. He loves it.
He does? Mm-hmm. Ugh. I would be so annoyed if I was Nick. I mean, and frankly, he just like walked out of here. So I think maybe he is annoyed and you think he loves it because that's what you like to tell yourself.
He loves it.
You know, he's outside punching a bag just to release all the frustration.
Twins have psychic powers.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Delusions. No, he's great.
Delusions.
No, Nick's really great. So are you off for a while? Are you going back to let me just be honest with you.
And I wish you would.
I don't feel bad because you have never listened to the podcast. I've not seen American Horror Story yet. All I've heard is that it is amazing. I mean, from people that I know that are TV snobs.
Really?
The house is for sale. Will you buy it?
No. I've spent enough time in that house. I do not need to buy that house. It's for sale.
So I haven't.
You haven't seen it?
I have not seen it yet.
Do you like the horror?
I love it.
Oh, right. Because that's, you know, when we first met, you know how we first met was you doing Rob Zombie's movie.
Yes.
That was the whole
initial
thing.
So that was like 2000.
Which I remember our friend Jen Johnston, who was also in that movie with you, made me. And I have an enormous fear of horror movies, which is why it's kind of hilarious that I've been in American Horror Story, because I really, really genuinely do. Like, I'm very suggestible. Like, I think it's all real and happening, and I'm not proud of it. I don't feel great about it. And I remember she made me go to a screening, like a private screening of your movie with Rob Zombie sitting right in the back. And I was so horrified because I couldn't watch any of it, and I just had to sit there and cover my eyes, and Rob was right there the whole time.
But it's different when you're shooting it, though.
It's totally different when you're shooting it, but yet also scary. Like, everybody's always like, oh, it's different when you're shooting. Well, I mean, you know, because you did it, but I find it to be scary sometimes. But what I also found interesting shooting the show is that then I would go home at night and not be scared at all. Like, we laughed the whole time that we were shooting. And I would go home, and it was like, I got it all out of my system. Totally fine.
That's good.
It was fear therapy.
I really want to see the show. You know, the problem for me in just my schedule lately is I don't have time. Like, I have to buy things in chunks and then watch them on planes on my iPad.
Yes.
Which is technically okay. It's a good thing for the production. It's not great for the habit of watching television.
Yes.
But it's just the schedule I have now that I just kind of have to watch things in chunks on planes. But an American Horror Story is something that I'm super excited to get into.
Yeah, it's. I think that's a good way to watch it, too. We only shot 12 episodes.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. You can handle that on
a plane. Get right in. Have they all aired?
No, there's one left.
Tonight, the season finale.
A very special FX event. I actually do think that they are calling it a very special FX event. Because, by the way, I didn't think anybody had done that since the 70s, but I think that they are.
Wow.
A very special FX
event. I know. Thrilled about it.
A television event.
Yeah, it's a television event. It's special. It's a special.
It's a very special episode. Someone becomes bulimic, and then a little boy gets touched.
Yep, that's right.
What happens on special.
And then someone tries to rape Edith Bunker, and then she talks him out of it. And it's a very special All in the Family.
By the way, that's all.
You don't remember that one?
I don't remember that one, but it sounds amazing.
You don't remember? Do you remember that one?
Wait, when somebody tried to rape Edith Bunker?
There was a guy, and he was robbing their house or something, and then he went to try to rape Edith Bunker. And like ripped her dress or something, but she kind of used like pointed old lady guilt and logic and talked him out of it.
I have a vague recollection.
She talked him out of it, and then there was like a big thunderous applause, you know, because that Norman Lear's whole thing was, I want to do comedies but actually deal with real life issues, and so that was his whole television revolution. And yeah, that was I'm sure it's somewhere on YouTube.
I have a vague recollection.
It's really creepy
because I feel that every time that she was serious is really sort of solidly seared into my brain because it was so upsetting when Edith got serious.
Oh,
wasn't it upsetting?
Yeah.
Because you feel so much for her. And so when she gets, you know, so that's why I think I have a vague memory of that, because whenever she was like
really, or like really confronting Archie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my heart would melt.
Yeah.
Right?
Because everyone had an uncle like Archie Bunker.
Oh, Archie.
It always freaked me out seeing her in interviews talk regularly.
I mean, Dingbat, right?
He called her Dingbat.
Amazing.
Yeah, but he couldn't live without her. Well, until she died, and then he opened Archie Bunker's place.
It was just Archie's place.
Archie's place.
I was gone by the time that happened. I forgot about all that.
And then he was so upset, he went on to become a cop in the heat of the night.
Oh, right.
Where he then loved black people.
Yeah, he didn't like anyone on the family. What was your first television job? What was your first job?
Ellen.
Really?
Ellen was my first television job. The Ellen show, or, you know, the sitcom.
Yeah.
I played Julie Fisher's sister.
That's awesome.
I know. I was so excited because the first thing, my first sort of thing was Brothers McMullen.
Right.
Remember?
Oh my God, the Ed Burns movie.
Yes, of course.
It's all flooding back.
Yes. So I did the Brothers McMullen and then I dragged my little ass out to Los Angeles to look at, you know, to become a big star. Well, not really. But yeah, that was it. And so I did that and then I got an agent and then my first TV thing was Ellen.
Because when we were friends before, not like we're not friends now, but when we were actually hanging out,
right.
I seem to remember.
Drunk, yeah. Yeah. So keep going.
So I have. I sort of remember some of it. No, but
I'm impressed. Actually.
No. But I just remember, like, I remember going through a couple pilot seasons with you at the same time. But you were. I feel like you were going up for sitcom-y stuff.
Yeah, I did. Well, because you know, ultimately, I did Spin City.
Right.
I mean. I think initially, because of Brothers McMullen, I did Ellen, which I loved, and was so thrilled. Because I grew up on sitcoms. I mean, that's really where, you know, was I felt my whole background came from. But, I always dreamed of doing sitcoms. But then I kind of got into other things. I remember I did this show called The Precinct.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Or you don't remember because it never aired, but...
I remember hearing
about
it.
It was by the ER. I told you about it because it was by the ER people, and ER was huge then.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember we would joke around. I remember joking with Lauren and all those people joking around because I was playing a cop, and it was like really real, and I had like no makeup on, and I was wearing a flak jacket when we were shot and whatever. But I always thought it was such a joke because I would run around and be like, "Freeze! You stop right there!" Because I found myself to be such a ridiculous. Like just hopeless cop. Like you stop. Freeze.
That's Sergeant Hooks from the Police Academy.
Yeah. That
was impressive.
I was waiting to see if anyone else picked that up.
No.
Other than me.
Nope.
God damn it.
I was like crickets. Again with the crickets.
What pilot was it? You were doing a show. We all went out to dinner one night and you did a show and it got canceled or something and you were super bummed.
Really?
And
was it a comedy?
It was. I can't remember. We were all went to dinner. All of us. It was like the whole group of
at
people.
At a Japanese place.
I don't know. Maybe. And you were like, I just found out my show.
I wonder
up.
Which one that was. Oh,
and I was kind of drunk. And I think I said something like, Connie, I think I speak for everyone when I say this is the worst thing that could have happened.
Oh my God. I totally remember that. Oh my God. And remember how we talked about that. We thought that was the funniest thing anyone had ever said for so long.
It was the most inappropriate thing to say after someone's found out their show's been canceled.
Oh my God.
You've told that story before.
I have.
Oh my God, that was so funny. We got a lot of mileage out of that. We thought that was so hilarious.
What was that show?
I don't.
Do you
and the
remember?
Funny thing is,
you don't
I
even
do,
remember.
But by the way, isn't that perfect?
It's perfect.
That quote is so hilarious and memorable, and yet I have literally no recollection of what that show is.
Well, it's also
it might have been The Precinct.
It's also so funny about just like how, and you're certainly you're a tester because a lot of people who listen to the podcast are like young writers, performers, whatever, and. You know, I think in a moment you can sort of feel like, well, it's all over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just done. I'm done. How many more fucking chances am I going to get?
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that
especially
was,
when you're starting out.
And that was like 8-9 years ago. And here you are like 2 hit shows beyond that. I mean, It's just a nice, like, you always have to remember, like,
yeah,
you know, however horrible you feel in one moment, that's not going to last forever.
Right,
you can totally get past it.
Yeah, no, gosh, that's such a great recollection. I totally forgot about that.
Those were super fun times.
Those were fun times. And that's the other thing. If you have a lot of, you know, young people starting out, just don't, I literally think back on those times, like when we all came out here from New York. And we're just like getting our first like little big breaks or little nudges into this business. And we just had this great group of friends and we were having so much fun. I still think of those as the best times.
Yeah, they
just
were
so much fun.
Now, Johnny Silverman has been doing television since television started.
Yeah.
And he doesn't age.
Johnny Silverman doesn't age. Johnny Silverman, I still see a ton.
I see him every once in a while.
Yeah, and he's great and he doesn't age. And, you know, he'll do TV. And he's directing now.
Oh,
he
really?
He directed a couple things. I think he directed a couple comedies.
I mean, just the sweetest...
I know.
Warmest, funniest guy in the world.
I want him to be a huge... I think he could be a great comedy director.
And I love his wife, too.
I know, Jen. She's awesome.
We were neighbors. Well, my girlfriend and I broke up, but we were neighbors. We lived, you know, like four houses away from them for quite a few years.
In, like, Bronson Canyon?
Yeah.
We were neighbors, too, but did you come visit? No.
I did. I came a couple times to your...
Maybe you didn't tell me, but
oh, this got weird.
Wow!
Stay out of your underwear
I don't
drawer.
Think I've seen you in a long.
Nope,
time.
You haven't. I move like the shadows. You had a great.
Deeply
I remember.
Disturbed.
Are you in the house that you were in before?
Yeah, same house.
You have this great deck that has this. If I remember, this murderous drop off.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then
that's
just
my house. Yes.
Just the canyon.
Right, and I actually kind of renovated it, so now that great deck, like, it goes all the way around my house, so you can just drop off anywhere.
Guess who just invited himself over to your house?
Come on over.
To chew on your baby's ear.
Oh, no, my baby nurse won't let you.
Let me, one time.
No.
Oh, she's weirdly strong.
She is weirdly strong. It's bizarre.
They have to be.
It's deeply disturbing.
They're supernatural. So what else is going on? If you're finishing this.
I mean, really? I mean, other than the fact that I just finished shooting
like
a show that
got
nominated for a Golden Globe. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. while I was doing that, adopted a baby. Mm-hmm. What else is going on?
Adopted a baby in an African country.
from Ethiopia and went there twice.
No, yeah. What are you up to?
I've got a couple of dogs.
God, you should really do more stuff.
You want me to tell you what's happening with my dogs?
Yes,
oh my God.
Oh,
you should
crazy.
Know what Lucy did this morning because she is hilarious. That dog. Makes me laugh and laugh and laugh.
is the motherhood what you thought it would be, or is it like, you know what? It is a constant joy.
It's awesome. It's a constant joy. Like I think I was so ready for it that it's really I'm just loving every minute of it. The hardest part has been just wanting to just. Totally dive into it while I was still working. And the other thing, which you always hear about, which is really true, for instance, the fact that I was late for our podcast this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have literally, time is no longer my own. It's really bizarre. And I'm so tired that I can't put words together. So how's it going so far?
You're doing a very good
job. You've done a really good job.
Literally, I sometimes can't think of...
There's a little bit of drool.
Yeah, no, I know.
Just a little bit.
Always, there's something crusty always somewhere. Always.
Baby crust.
Yeah, baby crust.
That's one of the grossest things to me is when children are not in their baby seats, just the shit that gets stuck in...
The baby seats.
I'm like, ugh.
Oh, all that stuff?
The grossest is people's cars. And now that I have... But see, my car... Because he's young and he's only been here for a short time, my car is still like really clean and great. But people who have kids, particularly multiple kids, and they're older, I'm so grossed out. And then they're always like, sit in the back seat. You know, you can sit in the back seat with the kid or with the baby seat. And it's just encrusted with any number of crumb type things.
Crumbs, and fluids.
And yeah, in red, gooky, whatever.
It's like Shih Tzu eye boogers. You're like, they always get those eye boogers.
It smells the opposite of clean baby.
Yeah, it does smell the opposite of clean baby.
It's not new baby. It's not new baby smell. It's old, dirty baby smell.
Old, dirty.
You know, when you think about it, adults are really just old babies.
He was my favorite Wu-Tang Club member.
We're really old babies.
I know. That's really, really profound.
Kind of. It really fucking fucks your mind up when you sit and think about how we're just fucking.
You missed it.
We're just old.
Oh my God. We're like such old babies. I'm such an old baby.
Old dirty baby. Old dirty baby. Old dirty baby, my favorite Wu-Tang Clan member.
That's the best. He was the best one. Old dirty baby. I love that character. It's like that was the girl in junior high who just got high for the first time. You guys were just really old babies.
By the way, because I really don't get. Can I talk about getting stoned? I don't get stoned that often.
Please.
But when I do get stoned, that is me all the time. Like I laugh so hard whenever I get stoned, and I'm always like, and I just, like every minute. Just is so full of the most amazing realizations that are really embarrassing.
I think the last time, I only ever smoked pot a handful of times in my life, and it always made me paranoid.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't
laugh.
See,
I know. I think it's interesting because I do, I like to think because I just laugh and think life is a joy, so therefore I like to think that it's an indicator of who you are, really.
Sure.
Oh, and that means that you're just paranoid.
Why would you say that? Are you talking to me? Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me?
Nothing.
Your eyes are baring into my soul.
I
like
get
daggers.
Really slow thinking, which I hate, and then when I'm talking to someone, I have to, in my mind, I repeat everything they said before I answer them, so there's like a long pause.
Like you're doing an interview where there's no host, and
that's
you have to repeat
really
the question.
Interesting.
And my bottom eyelids become heavy, so I can't close my eyes.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Weird, right?
That's a nightmare.
That's why I don't like pot.
Oh, that's sad.
That's really sad.
It was always sad for me, I mean, because I would just get,
Is he texting like while he's
probably figuring out what Boxing Day is again?
No, it's our Nerdist TV show is being delivered in 5 minutes ago, and they just asked me if I gave the final approval that I thought I gave. So I was just saying, "Oh, everything's okay."
Oh, can I unapprove something? Hang on.
Nope. Oh. It's too late. Too late, Luther. Too late.
Wait, so you guys tell me because I haven't really been up to speed because I haven't been doing these other things that we've been talking about.
You've been working on adopting a child on a TV show?
Yeah, sure. Exactly. But what? So you have a Nerdist TV show.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm really important now, Connie. I mean, it's not like the old days. It's not like the old days when I was fat and inert. I have stuff now. I have lots of stuff.
Well, after Singled Out dried up, Shipmates came along.
Wait a minute. I remember Shipmates.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe that was the last time I saw you with Shipmates.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm doing this show called Shipmates.
Oh, my God.
You know what? Here's the thing. We were always such good friends that I could always just give you shit.
Oh, you buy, please.
Shipmates.
I adore you. You can give me as much shit as you want.
I can give you plenty of shit about Shipmates.
Yes,
but
please.
But wait, now you have a Nerdist TV show?
Well, there's a couple shows. There's the Nerdist TV show, which is you know, like a
don't undersell it. We're on BBC America.
We're BBC America.
Maybe we're not gonna get FX numbers, but
you're on BBC America. That's
BBC
so
America.
Cool.
And then I do a show on AMC after Walking Dead, which if you're a Walking Dead fan, you should do. It
doesn't sound like she is. Remember the part where she adopted a baby and was making a TV show?
Thank you for listening.
Well, 14 hours on a plane, you can't watch a fucking zombie show? What's the problem? Oh, yeah,
no, zombie show.
It's a horror show.
It's
that's
a
why.
Horror show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
So I host a show on AMC after Walking Dead now.
Why?
People in America have the same question.
Because we want to talk about zombies. So it's basically a wrap-up show for Walking Dead.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's like those wrap-up shows they do on Bravo for like
the same company.
But
it's the same company who does Watch What Happens Live, yeah. But we just talk about Walking Dead because I'm a huge fan.
You have interesting people on and not housewives that fight each other.
We do not have housewives on. We have cool people on.
So you're basically doing the Walking Dead equivalent of the housewives at the after housewives show?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That is so awesome.
But it's way cooler. It's way cooler because it's
No. There's nothing cooler than that.
That's true.
Nothing, literally. But the fact is that you're doing that means that you are almost as cool as that.
Almost.
I mean.
But the zombies on our show don't go shopping.
Not yet. Season 3.
Darn it.
Yeah, so we're doing that. I fucking wrote a book. I mean, it's been a... I wrote a book.
What the hell did you write a book about?
Stuff. There's been a lot of stuff. It's just things.
You wrote a book about how to not be a bloated drunk jerk?
That's partially true. Yeah, so there... Wow, this... I love that we're catching up right now.
I know, we're catching up on your podcast. Well, I knew that we would probably end up catching up on your podcast.
Yeah, because maybe I saw you like 2 years ago coming out of Johnny Silverman's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
And just when you were getting your car and I was coming in. I'm like, hey, nice day. Yes, catch up in 2 years. Bye.
Yes. That's right. We're
going to fucking resurrect the shit out of this friendship,
yes,
Connie.
Yes, we are. Because, by the way, I'm still friends with all these people.
So if you come back into
the fold, then it'll be just like old times, except everyone will be sober and have kids and have to go to bed by 9.
Listen, I love going to bed early. Are you kidding me?
I do, because my kid wakes up at 5.
Oh, kids would love to do that. I mean, what's he doing to you?
Such an asshole.
Oh, my God.
And how did you guys meet and start doing this?
Matt used to fix computers.
I used to fix computers.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I totally need some help.
Uh-oh. Here you go. Do you have a Mac?
Yeah.
He was an Apple genius.
Shut your trap right now.
Yep. Shut it, Matt.
That is true.
But now you're a big star, so you can't do that anymore, right?
Yeah, no, I don't do that anymore.
He'll do it for you.
I do that for people like him. People would still ask me.
Really?
To do it. It's like the mafia. I can't get out.
Yeah.
That's really hot, though.
The fact that you
fixed. Like that?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Seriously.
It's a good skill set to have.
Listen, the older I get as a woman, the more I realize like that makes a hotness factor in a guy.
You're the real rebel.
Right up there.
Not the guy with the leather jacket and the motorcycle.
No.
Looking at the guy that may or may not own a fleece vest.
Hey, Connie, I better get in there and clean out your motherboard. Never know how you would do
that. Your motherboard.
Yep. That's a piece of a computer.
I know. I got it. And it was a double entendre. It was actually a triple entendre on account of how now I'm a mother.
I know. I got it. I know.
You know what I mean? This is good shit.
This is really awesome shit.
If we're ever going to get a Peabody Award, it's this episode.
Yeah, we got...
Sorry, guys. I didn't realize that we were gunning for a Peabody on this. I would have prepared.
You know something?
Sorry.
No, this is the perfect episode. We've tackled... It's funny. There's a touching element because you've adopted...
Right.
If we don't win a Peabody Award, then that means the Peabody people are against adopting African children.
And Friday Night Lights won Peabody Award.
Yeah. And Friday Night Lights... So,
and I was on that show.
Yes. So transitively, we should win a Peabody Award.
Property of Peabody Awards in effect.
Yes.
We get one.
Yeah, and it's going to be based on this show. Yeah.
If Peabody equals Friday Night Lights and Friday Night Lights equals Connie and Connie equals Nerdist Podcast, the Nerdist Podcast transitively must equal Peabody Award.
Yay.
I just got hives.
Right?
That reminds me of my old math days.
Was Steve Hardwick in that class?
Yes! Yes!
What did he look like?
Calculus. Analysis and calculus. He kind of looked like you, although maybe he's just melded into you.
It's possible.
He was blonde. What goes on here?
Something very exciting is happening.
I don't understand where we are.
There's a gift exchange or something here. I think today is the last day of work for a lot of people.
All in their cable town sweaters.
Today.
Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
They're all wearing their cable town sweaters.
You guys have clearly your fingers are on the pulse.
Wow. Yep, this is it. How does the pulse feel? It feels
good. And... We got Nick over here. And
Nick's over there pulling in clips.
Doesn't even hear us.
Nope.
Doesn't even
cable
hear
towning
us.
Right now.
He is. That's what he's supposed to
do. Wait, so did we get Comcast bought us? I don't really understand how this works.
Comcast bought NBC and took NBC's name.
Right. Okay.
But it wasn't just as simple as that. There was a folding in of... It was a shift on par with like Dark City, where all the buildings would just like crumble and reform, and so like there were elements molded in.
So the Cabletown sweatshirt, that makes sense because we did get bought by the Cabletown equivalent.
We are all part of the NBC family now.
But Cabletown is still only a fiction that is on 30 Rock.
It was
which was Comcast.
That, by the way, just I'm going to go ahead and say it. That's my favorite show.
30 Rock.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you.
It's great.
I mean, and there's some great comedy going on because that's still all the TV I ever really watch is comedy. But 30 Rock, come on.
Have you hosted SNL yet?
So no.
You really should.
Oh, I want to.
You would
so
be fucking great.
And you know, those guys loved Friday Night Lights. They used, because I would go visit every once in a while, and they were all, like, in fact, they talked about one time doing a skit where they all imitated, like, various characters on Friday Night Lights, which I just would have been, that would have been so dreamy. But I want to.
You would have brought them all cupcakes.
Yeah. I really feel like.
I would have.
Oh, yeah, and you were in the new Nightmare on Elm Street, too.
Yes!
Isn't that crazy? Was so much fun.
That was,
For someone who's freaked out by horror.
I know. Well, because I figured that was my initial foray, if you will, into horror, because I figured, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, it was Jackie Earle Haley, mm-hmm. and I thought, if he can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely.
Because he's awesome.
He's 15 kinds of awesome.
He's 10 million kinds of awesome, and he played Freddy Krueger.
That's way higher than my number.
Yeah, I exceeded your number.
I remember him being a stagehand on... I had a friend who worked on the Newhart show.
Humble brag.
I feel like it was the Newhart show... Or if it wasn't Newhart, it was a show around the same time. And I went to a taping, and this guy looked really familiar, and he was a stagehand. I hope I'm not inventing this, or I didn't dream it.
I hope you are, because that makes you fucked up.
And it looked, I was like, that guy looks like Kelly from the Bad News Bears. And the guy who was the audience warm-up was like, yeah, that was him. And he brought him up and like waved and everything.
I think this actually did happen.
And
I
it was
think
like,
that that's
oh,
right.
He's a stagehand. And he was this really hot teenage rebel kid.
Yeah.
And boy, did he fucking come back with a vengeance.
I know. I mean, it's actually such a great story.
I mean, he was just loading cables. Like, I was like, that guy looks familiar.
And what was this? I mean, I can't remember exactly. There was some movie that involved Kate Winslet or something. Oh, well, no, that was the...
Titanic.
No, that was that one about something children.
Oh,
where he plays that horrible kid.
Yeah.
But was that the comeback?
Wait, where he plays what?
That was the comeback.
Where he plays what?
He plays some kind of horrible
child molester kind
of
guy?
Yeah.
Not a stretch for Freddy, then, is it?
Not really.
Think about it.
Yep, that's
what Freddy
Yeah,
did.
But you know what? That's a different kind of...
Listen.
It's a different genre, if you will. Listen.
I just want to remind everyone that Freddy is a child molester. Stop putting him on t-shirts.
I agree with you.
So good to have you make a stand.
I know.
That's all I took a stand on. That's all.
I didn't realize this was the public service part of our Peabody podcast.
It wasn't his fault. Amanda Kruger was the bastard son of 100 maniacs.
Yep.
If you watched, did you watch all the Freddy Krueger movies?
I've never watched one.
Did you watch yours?
Yeah.
Okay. You had to go to the premiere.
I had to. Actually, no. One of our producers, because I really hadn't watched any of them because I watched no horror because I was always so afraid of it growing up. But our producer kind of made me watch like part of one of the original ones.
Mm-hmm.
Or part of the original, I think the first one or something. And I was like, this is comedy.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny.
Well, it started off.
It's so slapsticky.
It started off kind of serious and then. They started realizing that it really, like, Freddie really ushered in that kind of 80s, like, I'm a quippy.
Yeah.
I've got
I have a real thing for him.
Slash and joke. Slash and joke.
Yeah, slash and joke.
Slash and joke.
Oh, really, it's joke and slash. But, and then, you know, that played out a lot.
Yeah.
I thought you were great. It was so much fun. And I didn't know you were in the movie until, and I was watching with my girlfriend at the time. We're like, this is Connie! Remember we saw Johnny's party.
She
was
loves like, horror. No. Yeah.
She thinks my name is Steve after all these years.
She still calls me Steve.
Steve Hardwick.
That was a really not scary experience. Because I didn't even really shoot with Freddy Krueger. Although you know, this is going to be a spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, but my death at the end was not originally scripted, and we went back and shot that.
Oh.
Because I guess they thought that I don't know. I don't know why they did it, but we went back and we shot the scene where we get in at the very end of the movie. You think everything's safe and all good, and then he comes and gets me out of the mirror.
That's a classic horror. Because always, like, It ends. It ends with a shock, or it ends with a like setting up a next movie.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing. I mean, not for you because you wouldn't be alive, but
no.
But I mean, but just that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes, exactly. Although I didn't really care, because I was like, oh, I guess this means I won't be in the next movie. Don't care. That's okay.
You did it.
I did it. I faced my fears and I did it.
No, I think the weekend box office is why you won't be in the next movie.
Did it not do?
Yeah,
did it
I
not
don't
do
think
well?
It did well. Did you just look that up online too?
No, but I could.
Mm.
I just remember. You know what?
Don't.
Doing well.
Do you want to know
how bad your movie did?
Yeah, please.
Why
do
am
tell.
I that guy?
You're always that guy. I don't know.
A jerk.
Yeah,
that's something your sister would do.
Jerk. Go fix the computer.
Okay.
What are you going anywhere for the holidays? You have to stay in town because you have a baby and you shouldn't be traveling.
No, it's quite the contrary.
Oh, I don't understand how it works.
you don't understand anything about
babies
having a
can't
new baby.
Travel. They can't travel.
Yeah, even though I just carried him back from Ethiopia on a plane with me.
Oh, you didn't do that on.
You should have gone submarine. That's
yeah.
Funny.
You didn't do that on a boat.
Thought about it. I was in a rush on account of how I had to come back to work. So we took the plane, which only took 28 hours.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh. But still, equivalent to a labor, maybe, 28 hours.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Right? I bet if you asked women if they'd rather go through 20 hours labor or 20-hour flight, they'd probably say labor.
Well, that depends on the particular experience that you have with the child that you're bringing back from Ethiopia.
I disagree. I think 90% of women would rather fly to Ethiopia.
No, Chris, if it's one thing I know, it's childbirth and flying.
Then push a baby through their vagina, which is, it seems like one of the most horrifying experiences that could ever happen to a person.
You have plenty of leg room while you're doing it.
That's a good point.
And they don't give you a morphine drip on the airlines.
On the class you fly.
I did have a morphine drip, actually.
The whole way.
Yeah, it was great.
14 hours. That's not too bad.
Why is it 28?
But 14 both ways.
No. 28 one way, coming back. 24 going, 28 because I had to take a
look. Oh, I missed that completely.
First of all, do you not know how far away Ethiopia is?
It's got to be at least a couple hundred miles.
14 hours would get me to, let's see, where would 14? Actually, 14 hours would get me to to Germany.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd much rather push a baby through my vagina than I don't have. I guess I wasn't.
Also, the 3 years leading up to the adoption, which was really the brutal part.
Really? What is that process?
Ugh, God. Adopting a baby is so, especially internationally.
Plus, you're doing it on spec because that kid's not even born yet.
Yeah, it's totally on spec.
Oh, that's spec. Oh, spec adoption.
Yeah, I mean, listen. No, but it's the most intrusive that you get treated like a criminal 10 times over. I can't tell you how many times I've been fingerprinted. You know, you have to, you do it through the Department of Homeland Security, which is creepy to me.
What?
Yeah, like it's all goes through the Department of Homeland Security. So you're dealing with our government, immigration, and also the Ethiopian government, and all their paperwork is a nightmare. And then it took forever.
And so do you choose a mother, or do you get to know her, or they just
say
we have a baby, your number's up?
Yeah, you do it through an adoption agency and they pick
we
up.
We have a baby.
We have a baby.
Well, no, like your number, like at the deli, you know, like
73 pound of pastrami.
African baby,
by the way, it's not unlike that. That's kind of how it was.
Really?
Yeah, because I was basically on a waiting list for like 2 years. And then one day the adoption agency calls and they're like, We're calling your number. We've got your number. We got your kid.
Well, you know what's really amazing about that is that after 2 years, what if you're like, I don't really want to adopt a baby anymore.
I know. Totally. I could have been.
I felt the thing a couple years ago, but now my life is different and I really can't have a baby.
Could have happened. I could have, you know, gone down many different roads by the time that happened.
Now, why do you think it takes so long? It seems like, wow, there really are not a lot.
It's an incredibly complicated process. Like, and that's actually a lot of what my documentary, if that ends up going that way, would be, is just sort of how the need, the genuine need for taking care of these children versus the reality of what it is to adopt them. There's just such a disparity there. It's kind of inhuman.
Because you probably think like I do, which is just very logically where you go, they're children.
Yeah.
I have a house. I got money. I want to adopt that kid.
Yeah.
Give him a better life. And Well, honestly, let's just do this. Why can't we just do this?
The first time I went to Ethiopia, literally all my friends were to shoot that documentary because I was going to shoot this girl, this orphan girl who'd given birth to a baby that we were trying to get adopted into America. And my friends were like, oh, you're going to come back with a baby. Everybody thought, oh, you're going to, and I kind of half thought I was going to come back with a baby. It's as if you can just go to Ethiopia. People think you can just go to Ethiopia and pick up a little kid and bring him home, which I suppose is maybe what Madonna did, which is why she got in so much trouble.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea.
Wait, so there was an orphan who had a baby?
Yeah. Like she was, because she was like, you know, a teenager.
Oh, okay.
And she got pregnant. So, and it was a very interesting thing because she was taking care of her two younger siblings. She got pregnant. But her parents had died of AIDS, so she's basically this girl and her two younger siblings living by themselves with no parents. She gets pregnant, so then she thought that she was going to get adopted too.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, God.
So it was heartbreaking. See, like how good my documentary is going to be?
Your documentary is going to be amazing. When are you going to finish this?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking because I want to take some time off to be with my baby. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking maybe that's what I should do is just really get somebody to adopt my documentary and get it done.
What does your documentary need?
It needs a great editor and it needs money because I've totally just paid for the whole thing.
How much
and, like,
money?
Done the whole thing.
How much money?
Really? I don't know. How much do you got? How much do you need for a documentary?
I'm doing
I don't
okay.
even know. I'm really bad with this kind of thing.
Okay.
$50,000? $100,000?
That's
I don't
it?
Know.
Listen, I'm going to
Kickstarter.
You could do Kickstarter. First of all.
What? Tell me.
Okay.
This is exciting. This is right. Peabody we, stuff right, right here, guys. This is Peabody stuff right here, guys.
You know, you're
here
on the very podcast that got Colin Hanks's Tower Records documentary off the ground with a Kickstarter.
Well, to be fair, Colin had
most of it was
that.
Done, but then we said, hey, do a Kickstarter.
Wait, what are you? You're speaking
okay, so
Swahili, which, by the way, is a language that I sort of know. Keep going.
Kickstarter is basically a community donation service. So you go to this website and you set up a page on Kickstarter and you say, I have a project, and in your case, it's this documentary. I'm setting a financial goal of, you know, $50,000 by March 1st. And then you explain what your project is, and then people in the world see that on Kickstarter and they go, that's a really cool project. I will donate money to that. And what you give them in exchange is, you know, some people just like to donate because they want to be part of a cool thing and they want to give their money to a cool thing. And you create premium levels of things. Like if you, you know, donate $1,000, you'll get a credit in the movie. Or if you donate $10,000, you'll get...
Fly out to the premiere.
You'll fly out. Yeah, we'll fly out to the premiere and, you know, you'll get to meet the baby or whatever. But you basically create this sort of tiered donation level thing. And then, and it's, you know, it's largely how young artists, or not young, but just artists in general or people are financing projects through, you know, community support.
Scott Mosier, my friend Scott, he just financed a documentary through that.
Really?
Yeah, because it sounds like to me,
I've never heard of this before.
It sounds like to me you don't need that much more money.
I don't really. I just need, you know what I need? Here's what I need money for. I need money so that I can get really awesome people to help. And I think I would like to make one more trip to Africa to do one final bit of shooting. But I need to just have really awesome people who can edit it and help me sort of shape it into something because
I know those people.
I
think I can help you.
This is so exciting.
I think I can help you.
Guys, this is so thrilling. I can't tell you.
Peabody.
It's been 8 years in the making. Here we go, Peabody.
I'm probably not going to adopt a baby, but I could help adopt your documentary.
Yes, see? This is so great.
So if I adopt the documentary, it's like I went to Africa to adopt a baby, but I don't got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
You feel so good about yourself.
No, but it sounds like your documentary sounds really cool, and I had no idea. I feel... I don't know. I guess I was just a shitty drinking friend all those years ago. But
well, but you know what's funny is I feel like this happened while we were all still hanging out. But you might have just missed this whole period of this happening.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds serious. I'll be at the bar.
Right. Maybe so. Maybe you were really, really drunk while I
was such
doing
a fucking piece of shit mess, Connie.
No, you weren't.
Oh, I feel I really was.
Oh, no.
I was.
Oh, let's just talk about it.
Did I ever get drunk and hit on you?
I don't know.
I probably did.
Probably. I don't know.
I'm so sorry.
I love that we're like talking about it now on your podcast after all these years.
I just hope I didn't say.
Are you like making amends? No, I don't think. I mean, if you did, I was probably drunk too, so don't worry about
it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
We had sex, right? We slept together?
I wouldn't remember it. If we did, it was not memorable.
Even if we were both sober.
Yeah, exactly. Not memorable.
Oh, Steve,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That I remember.
Did you date Steve Hardwick?
No, I didn't.
No.
I think I had a crush on Steve Hardwick, though.
Maybe that's why his name has stuck with you for so long.
I think he dated a friend of mine. I don't know. It's all very vague, but I do. There was something. I would love
to find out what he's doing now.
I know. But you know what's so funny? When you think back on high school things, like I go immediately. I'm like, oh no, we can't do that. That would be so embarrassing.
No, I think it'd be great. Did you go to any reunions or anything?
High school reunions?
Yeah.
No.
Me neither.
No. No. Never did. But I love my high school friends. I still love and adore my Virginia. I always thought, because I grew up in the small town of Virginia, I was like, my friends from Virginia, those girls from Virginia were some of the funniest women I ever knew and still are. They're so awesome.
Oh, that's good.
I know, they're hilarious.
Well, maybe someone will track down the real Steve Hardwick. Mm-hmm. There's probably a couple Steve Hardwicks. I don't think it's a super uncommon name.
I'm sure there's one or two.
And then we'll figure out this. Does the documentary have a name?
Lost and Found.
Oh, I love it!
Oh my God.
God damn it! That is great!
Sorry, I just trademarked that.
Oh God.
See? Oh, you are such a party pooper.
That's what I do. All right, cool. Well, we're at the end of our hour, Connie Britton. I didn't even get to talk to you about Friday Night Lights, but I'll just sum it up by saying great fucking work.
Right, even though you haven't seen that either.
I saw a bunch of episodes.
On a plane?
Well, no. My girlfriend at the time watched all of Friday Night Lights at once. And so I saw a bunch of episodes. What had scared me off of it before is that I hate sports.
I hate sports and I hate horror. So I do things that involve things that I hate.
But everyone, and people's podcasts.
I hate podcasts.
Hate them. And so, but everyone was like, it's not about sports. It is not about sports. And they're right. And you were fucking great on the show.
Thank you.
It was really cool to go see you. It's kind of you kind of did the Cranston thing, which he does one type of thing, and then his next project is completely different.
I know. Well, thank you. That's a huge compliment because I think he's so awesome. But I really, really wanted to do that. Because I loved Friday Night Lights so much, and I love that character so much. So I really wanted to just go opposite. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what that was going to look like, but. And so, you know, enter Ryan Murphy, you know, it was so great. Because that was the first thing that he said to me when we sat down to talk about this. He just was, all he had to do was say, this is going to be different than anything that you've ever done and completely different from what you've just been doing. I was like, tell me more. But yeah.
Tell me a story.
Yeah.
Tell me a story. All right, cool. Well, we'll just go have food and talk more about your documentary.
Yeah. And we won't be on these microphones.
I'm going to record everything.
Okay.
From forever.
He does that.
Okay,
it's
great,
weird.
Great. It's really weird.
Can't lose a moment. All right. Connie Britton, I adore you. It is wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast again.
For
this is
me,
really
Steve.
Fucking fun. It's fine. It's fine. Cindy. What?
Oh,
I turned it around. I know. What did I do? You have that ukulele scar. It's just that she's got these four.
I know.
It's funny. She was like, I have my sister with the ukulele, and I meet Cindy, and she just has these four lines across her head where the strings were. Never healed.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious. If you ever do meet her, I should tell her to do that. She would do it. She's funny. She's funny. My sister's funny.
She's funny. All right. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your burritos.
Happy Boxing Day.
Happy Boxing Day.
Do they know we're
Christmas time?
Well, tonight, thank God it's them.
God.
Instead of you.
And there won't, and Harmony, there won't
be boxes in Africa this Christmas time.
Everybody did that thing, though. Everybody. Everybody was huge.
Bob Geldof, Simon Le Bon.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd was not in that.
I don't care.
He was not a British rock star.
That I want. Dan Aykroyd was in that.
I mean, if you think about it now, it's so contemptuous.
You think so?
Yeah.
How come?
Because it's like so.
Well, the point of view is, I like the intention is good. The point of view is very Anglo arrogant.
Exactly. It's arrogant. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very Anglo arrogant. This is just sort of like going down to during the Crusades and being like, you mean you don't know about Jesus Christ?
Right.
Kill them.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, but obviously, the intention was good. I think they did raise a lot of money, and I fucking love the shit out of that song.
And there was a terrible famine going on at the time.
Terrible famine going on at the time. Way better than the Christmas Shoe songs, which I think is the most contemptuous song ever written.
Wait, which one?
It's that one about the story where that can I buy these shoes
for
my mama, please?
It's Christmas time. Wasn't that kind of a country song? Was that a pop song or was that a country song?
It was crap.
Because I feel like I only heard that when I was visiting, you know, in small town Virginia, and it would be on the radio, and I was like, what is this crap?
It's the most heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Let me congratulate myself.
I somehow missed that one, and I'm
good.
I'm happy.
Yeah,
for that.
It's no. You see, that's why I think you
run away.
Missed it.
Run away.
It was awful. Embarrassing.
It really was. Don't buy those shoes for that kid. You know, give anonymously, guy who wrote the song. You don't have to fucking trumpet about how you gave some fucking kid a pair of shoes for his dying mom.
So, right.
Mama,
well put. Well
you know the problem with hating that song is that you could never sit down with a sincere, caring Christian person and explain to them why you think it's terrible. Like, you just sound like an asshole. Like, it's so. And then he fucking gives them the money.
Then you're cynical.
It was sort of the conversation I had with my stepmother. It was like, but it's a beautiful song. Like, don't you see what they're doing to you? You don't get it. You don't get it, Rebecca.
Whoa.
That's nice. I'm sure she loves you.
Just imagine your stepmom is Rebecca Black, the girl that sings the Friday song.
Rebecca Black?
Yeah.
Who's Rebecca
That's
Black?
That's what I imagined your stepmom was.
Rebecca Hardwick?
No, but I just imagine that it's the only Rebecca I could think of.
Well,
wait,
Matt,
Rebecca
that's ridiculous.
This is petering out.
But you know what's weird about what you just said?
Are we still recording? I thought we said this was over.
What's weird about what you just said
I'm still talking in the hair.
What day is it that we're recording?
It's Friday.
Friday. And I'm sorry that we just put that song in everyone's head.
I'm sorry.
Kanye Britton, I love you more than words could form.
More than words.
We're never going to end.
Okay, I'm supposed to let you have the last word in. I'm bad at that. I almost shut up.
You do it.
No.
You last word.
No.
You get the last word. Do it. Your mouth is closed. Make a word. Connie, make a word. Connie. Okay, okay, I hit stop.
You did not.
Dumb.
Yeah, that was stupid. You're dumb.
That's true.
You've hit stop.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of The Nerdist was brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Easy, automatic, unlimited backup for your computer files. Try it free for 15 days at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist.
Girls Fight Back is the world-renowned personal safety and empowerment-based self-defense company that teaches women and people of all gender identities how to live confidently while being their own best protector. As a leading voice on violence prevention and empowerment for over 20 years, Girls Fight Back has trained over 1 million people around the world since 2001.
Their engaging workshops create a safe environment for groups to learn evidence-backed, life-saving skills, emphasizing that self-defense education is about more than just physical resistance. Girls Fight Back, led by CEO Nicole Snell, provides audiences with a range of applicable safety strategies that can be used in any setting so that you can lead a badass life.
To learn more about Girls Fight Back and to bring their award-winning trainings and seminars to your community, visit girlsfightback.com. That's girlsfightback.com.